ABC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
I love you.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your kennel with you.
The city needs saving.
What are we going to do with the time trip?
That was Rip. This is John Constantine.
That's on from the future.
Because you can inspire
me. My name is Barry Allen.
Oh, doubtful, mate. You see, I am an accomplished warlock, an expert of the occult, and the master of it.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
You should not be really heroes. Legends. You have failed this city.
All right, we are back. Long break. It's DC on CW, the Flash edition on Rayman Digital. I am the one and only Bobby D. And in the studio with me today is Steve.
What's up?
Unfortunately, Ryan's accepting his 2018 NAMBLA Man of the Year Award this weekend, so he's not going to make it for this mid-season comeback. But if you're listening to us from your desktop, you can go find us on demand through basically all the major iPod or podcast listening through Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, Adult Friend Finder. No, not Adult Friend Finder.
Not Adult
Friend. Do you even know what that is anymore?
I don't even know. Is it still a thing?
I don't even know. I just remember that used to always come up on the side for every like porn thing. Like porn? Try Adult Friend Finder. I'm like, and I'm an adult and I need a friend.
Different kind of friend.
Yeah. Today we'll be discussing Season 5, Episode 10, The Flash and the Furious. The mid-season premiere kind of leaves us with two questions. Can people change? And should metas be cured?
I didn't even realize that title until you just said it was the title.
They've kind of gone into that land of how Legends is, to where everything's a fucking pun.
Yeah.
So we'll see it. News we have for coming back is, you know, I think we left you off after, you know, our mid-season crossover. Ruby Rose Batman TV series was actually ordered to pilot. Now you guys will probably be reading a lot about, you know, it's ready for next year, but ordered a pilot kind of means that it's just they want to see a test shot and they want a whole episode to go through. They got a Game of Thrones director to go. So it looks like we might be getting another DC on CW show. How do you feel about that, Steve?
It's interesting because in a lot of ways you could say, well, the crossover was the pilot.
Ish.
It was the test bed. I'm curious to see what a full episode looks like. Are they going to go into a deep background and like how she became Batwoman and all that? Or I'm curious to see the route they'll take. I'm still, I don't want to use the word skeptical, but I do have a little bit of concern about the longevity of Ruby being able to pull off the character out of the cowl.
Yeah.
She's amazing in the cowl. It's just, I don't want her character to be just Ruby Rose and then Batwoman.
Well, I think what I want to see is how it grows. Because, I mean, we've talked about that with a lot of these characters that we, you know, have grown to love. Mm-hmm. Is that Cisco and, you know, Caitlin and a lot of these characters have changed over the years to where, you know, they kind of got their footing. They figured out how to write them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we can't always go off of what we see at first.
Yeah.
You know, the first impression for Batman or Batwoman was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's just got to get time to kind of find some traction. I bet you if we go back and watch like the original Flash and like Arrow and some of like the pilot episodes, it's not what we see today.
It isn't. I will say with Arrow, I was hooked right out of the gate on that first episode. Even Flash, Supergirl especially, like I was just hooked. I'm not saying I'm not hooked on this one. But you're right. It does change over time. It's not the same. These aren't the same shows that we started with. But to your point, Dibney's another example, right? Like
yeah.
Out of the gate, we were kind of, and we love the guy now. He's awesome.
And I'll get into that later in this episode to where we, you know, I think Sherlock is actually, for me personally, is making a bit of a turn to where they figured out how to write them and use them properly. But we'll get into that later. I want to say that this Game of Thrones director that they came bringing in was also the pilot guy for Arrow and Flash, if I read that right. You know, they kept making a big deal about it, and Steve, you can confirm. I know you're already on the Google machine.
I'm not. I haven't even found the dude's name.
I believe he was in the original pilots for Flash and Arrow also, I believe I read. And so he has some experience dealing with this genre, the CW, you know, and the look that gets these shows picked up.
Yeah, he did. He did the pilots for Flash, Arrow, and Game of Thrones. So you're right. He's got a track record.
Yeah, and so that gives me confidence going into it that we're going to get something good. And again, if we go with what we built off of from the crossover, I'm looking forward to it, actually. I don't mind the fact that we're not getting Batman. I'm not Ryan. I understand our limitations as far as budget, licensing. I look at it a little bit differently than most people. Like, I understand what's going on behind the scenes.
It's a business at the end of the day.
It's a business at the end of the day. But what they have done so far and what we saw in this episode is now that it's Wayne Tech is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And when they said that, you know, they went to Argus to go break out their Fast and the Furious car, at first I was like, oh, maybe this is like a prototype Batmobile for her, you know. But it's at least opening it up that it's not the name we shall not say. This isn't Voldemort or any of those guys, you know. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope it does well, because the problem is if it doesn't, then they kind of always take that shit away from us.
Yeah, I don't want it to do poorly, because I don't want to see us limit any other potential shows to be investigated.
Yeah, because it's always one of those things, and it's going to be hard now with the DC universe, because you know, with Titans on there, they have Dick Grayson, they have Jason Todd. You know, it looks like Dick's going to get a Nightwing suit. You know, we have some of the Bat family that's already out there, so we got to take what we can get. And again, I appreciated everything that she did on the crossover, and I think she deserves it. I believe, according to her Instagram, she took a picture of a statue of Batwoman and says, I'll see you in 2 months. So I think that's when the filming starts,
all right,
you know, to go into the pilot season, which, you know, usually gets announced sometime in the summer. It's either before Comic-Con in July or right after it. So we got that to look forward to, you know, because we don't do enough DC on CW shows, so...
Yeah, and I'm about to go down that rabbit hole here real soon on that DC universe, because now that I got the Apple TV and that I can download apps on, that was one of the first ones I downloaded there.
Did you buy it?
I didn't pull the trigger yet.
I will share you my password.
Because I know when Swamp Thing rolls around, I'm going to be all about it, but I kind of wanted to wait until Titans had a whole thing where I could just binge it.
Yeah, Titans is done. So okay. They moved on to Young Justice. But
wow, that was fast.
Yeah, well, I think that's what they're doing. They're releasing, you know, one standalone right after another. They're not going to overwrite their own product.
Wow.
But that'll do it for today's news. When we get back, we'll break down this episode.
I'm already helping a bunch of idiot do-gooders. Sorry, I'm up to my fuzzy hood and teamwork.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man.
Thomas, Raina in the Invasion Force is asking where she can listen to the show because the app's not working. Is she new?
Oh, mean.
Is Raina new?
No, like, she knows better.
She wants to be inducted into the super fan, Rain Man super fan.
Well, I think
fan.
She's just literally just, that's her note.
But I've literally told people, like, for the past, what, month now, that the app is no longer going to be a thing. To go where?
The website.
And
you can also get on Stitcher and iTunes and all that.
Not live. Tune in. Blog Talk.
No, that's an old one. That's an old
I'm
one.
Giving Jesus. Shit to Raina, and the actual co-host of the show
just
still doesn't know.
To the website.
Well, hold on. Hold
I
hold
just
on.
Go to Blog
What's
Talk
the website
Radio.
Again?
We haven't used Blog Talk in 5 years.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Hey, ass butt.
Really complain about that.
I was just super bummed that she was old, and
as you would be.
As she wasn't as hot as she was last time, and she looked more like the old version of what's the chick in Kill Bill, the one that has the one eye.
I know who you're talking.
Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
Wait, which one? The Daryl Hannah.
Yeah, Daryl Hannah.
Does she look like a Sidewinder?
Yeah, she looks like the old beat up version of Sidewinder.
Old beat up version of Sidewinder.
Well, don't be. You know, so what? There's rude. No room for ageism in this show.
Ageism. That's a new one.
That's not actually. That's a real thing. It's been around for many years.
Oh, Jesus.
That's not a fake word.
It sounds like a fake word. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Racism. Nice one, Mike. I'm glad you made that one up, too.
As if people get offended by when you degrade them for how old they are.
Look,
now get back in there and make me a sandwich.
She looked like she'd be the one that would drive backwards down the freaking highway because okay. She could barely.
See, that is what we call ageism, listeners.
Yeah.
It's more like truthism. Go to Sun City here in Arizona. Go to Sun City in Arizona. You'll see it. She probably lives there.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Lily was like, I gotta come from Arizona.
Anyway, regardless of Ryan's.
Hold on, I'll help you guys after I take my blood pressure medicine.
I gotta take my Geritol real quick. You guys have an extra walker I can use? I left mine in Arizona. I left mine in Arizona.
That's so fucked up.
They made me check it when I went through the. I had to go through the machine and my pacemaker might have gets.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I hope someone horrible makes fun of you when you're old. Like, just throws shit at you.
I'm gonna be the crotchety old guy that laughs at those jokes, though, because I look like. I'm old, dude. At that point, you've lived just about everything, right?
Just about everything.
Might as well make fun of yourself, dude. I'm going to have like a replacement hip shit. My mom has a replacement hip. Now I'm making fun of my mom.
He's just digging himself.
So as Ryan tries to backpedal out of that grave.
My mom doesn't listen to this
whatever
show.
They have done with Meredith Glynn.
Like, that's what we're worried about.
Yeah, I know. His mom's ratings.
Please, we don't want to offend Ryan's mother.
Ages. That's where we draw
who
the line.
Who spawned this piece of shit?
Don't miss Supernatural at Crossroads every week on Rain Man Digital. Go to supernaturalthecrossroads.com for more information.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
And some of the fundamentals in Calypso touch to some of the most classic Star Trek stories of all time. AI relationship between AI and human, or AI and a thinking being.
Oh, just slow down, David. You analyzing and finding the real artistic merits within this episode and calling it full-on Star Trek? Shame on you, Dave. You should be complaining like everyone else who obviously don't understand the very fandom they claim to be a part of.
All they want to see is Spock and Kirk.
I want to see phasers fire! Proton torpedoes!
You're not doing the hand gesture right.
Oh, come here, Dana Troy. I want to touch your communicator. Can you put one on your right side, too? Just going to play the drums.
Star Trek From the Holodeck, exclusively on Rain Man Digital.
End simulation.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, DEAL30, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And for your viewing pleasure, 6 free spicy movies on DVD, plus
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. So go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off, plus 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code DEAL30. Again, that's DEAL30, because without it, no free stuff. That's DEAL30 at adamandeve.com.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, we are back. Today we'll be breaking down Season 5, Episode 10, The Flash and the Furious, directed by David McWhirter, written by Kelly Wheeler and our buddy Sterling Gates. Now, the beginning, I said, there's questions that were asked. And that's what we're going to do in this episode. We're going to ask those same questions.
Those hard-hitting questions.
What, you know, and these are real-life things that we come up with. Can people change? Do people ever really change, Steve?
Oh, man, I'm so torn on this. I feel like, look, usually when change occurs, it's when someone goes through some real shit, like some real shit. Now, that doesn't mean it has to be a bad real shit, but typically that's what it is. And mm-hmm. It's usually when you fall flat on your face and you are down and out and you have to look real hard in the mirror at oneself, whether it's through drug addiction or whatever the hell. And then from that,
yeah,
you come out, or a divorce or whatever, right? Yeah, and then you have to look in the mirror and really make a self-assessment.
Because I think, you know, we are friends with Ryan and Ashley. Sure. You know, they got a divorce and they have both have made major changes in their life to correct who they were and who they wanted to be. So you're right. It does take like a tragic type moment or something that makes you want to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Like you can't make me change, Steve. I have to want to change. And I can't look at you and tell you everything that's wrong about you and hope that, you're going to change because I told you.
But that's the funny thing. You don't have to, because we are all our own worst critic.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, no matter what you or anyone else would ever say about me or vice versa, you beat yourself up more in your own head than anybody else ever does all day long. But it takes that real moment of like, oh shit, I need to change before you really, really do change.
So Barry goes to Nora because Nora's being like this complete bitch, for better words, the whole episode about villains. And Barry looks at her and goes, I've seen it happen. And he seems to truly believe that people can change. Does Barry buy his own bullshit?
Yeah. Well, what was interesting to me was they all knew something was up her ass.
Yeah.
They could tell something was amiss. They didn't know what it was. I don't know. Sometimes it's like you wonder, does Barry buy his own bullshit?
I mean, because when he said that and he brings up the one person, you know, he brings up Snart and mm-hmm. how he changed. And this is like, yeah, and his change got him killed. So why would I want to change?
Well, and then look at Barry. It's like, you keep saying, don't do this, don't, and then you turn around.
You ain't changed shit.
And you do it every season.
And you broke so much stuff. Yeah. You gave Diggle's kid a sex change.
Yeah.
And yet you are the one person that goes running in and acts emotionally and does things like just like that. And what the fuck?
And then has the balls to sit there and rail on his daughter to not
but
do it.
But that's a parent thing, though.
Yeah, you know, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Like, when you're older, you'll understand. You can do some shit. At your age, whatever it is, because we really don't know, you can go ahead and, you know, learn from it. Now, we learn a little bit more about the Reverse Flash, and we see him going in, and Nora keeps running back, and that's part of this whole change thing, that she's starting to question whether this man can change. Now, personally, and this is my opinion at all, that man is evil. There is nothing that is going to change it. He hates Barry Allen. And that's not me going through comic books or any kind of other references here. Based on this TV show, that man hates Barry Allen.
He hates him. And when he speaks about hating him, you could feel it in his delivery. And for him to just turn around right after the fact and then act completely differently, like, you have to read through the bullshit. Come on.
Is she such like a fangirl over this whole scenario that she doesn't see through it? I keep searching for ways to justify her actions.
Her behavior, yeah. Well, that's the thing that's about people. You can't always justify or make a logical argument out of human behavior.
Yeah, because if I believe, who are you to tell me differently?
Right, and human behavior is driven by feeling, mm-hmm. right? It's and feelings derived by chemicals in your head. So, I mean, it just is what it is.
He has to have some kind of end game here, and I'm wondering if is a deeper relationship between the two of them that we don't know yet. I don't know if I want to say sexual in nature,
Well, he even said that when he was talking about, you know, he wants to know Barry better or whatever. I turned to Nicole and I was like, I want to be inside him, because that's what it sounded like.
It's so fucking creepy.
It is. It's very creepy.
And it just seems like this is the way. Like, if I can't get Barry, I can get his daughter.
That's even creepier. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's hot.
Yeah, no doubt.
But.
And they're both speedsters.
Kind of a weird way to go about it.
There are so many things that I've just been questioning about this show, and I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. If I'm finding plot holes and things that they're doing, because, you know, they talk about the speed sensor that was supposed to be in her shoulder and that was nulling her speed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how did this get there? How did it go out? Like, you know, we have so many open-ended questions that I understand we're only at week 10 of 23 or 22, whatever season ends up being. But it's just like, I believe in Iris more than anything, and I think we've said that in the past episodes, that we're going to figure out that this isn't the sweet baby girl that they think she is.
Well, yeah, I want to know why she ended up even going to him in the first place, if it was truly...
He didn't know who... She doesn't know who he is.
Yeah. What drove her into that room or into that meta-prison, and how the fuck did he get into meta-prison?
Yeah. Are we going to get, like, a reverse flash fast forward?
Is it a flash forward?
You can call it whatever you want if you want to go with the puns.
Or it's not a flashback.
Well, it'd be a flash forward to go forward in time.
Well, technically, it'd be a flash forward, then a flashback within the flash forward.
Oh, God. We're going to get into the fucking the chalkboards here.
Yes.
Just keep drawing fucking circles around each other to figure out where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because... I just don't want them to. I want it to show, like, who the hell caught this man that it was able to run through Legends of Tomorrow, some former faction mm-hmm. of him, you know, was able to get away. I believe that we see this clock running, and of course it starts at 52, if you notice. They use all their DC puns whenever they can. And it's counting down. Now, of course, every time she runs back, it could be at 52 because that's how time travel works.
Mm hmm.
Or a little bit, but like the next second or whatever it's going to be. But I have a feeling that if they're going to keep like with continuity of the storylines of him being chased by like the Time Wraith or the Black Flash, you know, for him being, you know, abusing the timeline, that clock has to be something to do with that for it to make sense for me.
Well, he says his time's up, right?
And you're up if, you know, death. Yeah. Get you. And the only thing death there is the Black Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what death is in speedster terms.
Unless he has cancer.
And his little bootleg Firestorm suit is keeping him alive.
Yeah, could be.
He has speed cancer.
Speed cancer. It's so, really fast. It's really aggressive.
So dumb. I always wonder what's going on here. And then we get this, like, kind of, and I said during news that we watch characters kind of grow. And when Sherlock came in, it was just like this annoying accent that was going. And it seems that they've, for me at least, they've calmed it down just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they've given him, like, a direction. Like, he is now this code breaker of the diary. And he's trying to figure it out.
And got his ass into the secret room.
Yeah. And is his character getting better for you? Or is it just like me wanting to be like a Tom Wells fan the whole time? So, or Tom Cavanaugh as I merge his character into
reality. Yeah. So I don't want to go and say that I'm sold 100% on a character. I mean, you want to talk about character change, people changing.
Yeah.
You can see that pivot on the writing of his character. I think that he did. This was the first episode where he was palatable for me.
Yeah.
Because he was, well, I guess towards the end of before the break, he was starting to become a little bit more palatable because he was starting to connect some dots that nobody else around him was connecting.
And he lost a lot of the arrogance.
Yeah. And for this episode, when he starts going in to break the code and then gets into the room and then immediately tries to pull up the records to find out and realizes that someone's been in there and has deleted the records, that made me go, okay, well, maybe he's, like you said, changing as a character, and I could grow to like him. But if he goes back to his typical nonsense that he was doing on the first, you know, half of the majority of the first half of the season.
Yeah. Then, where it was like, can he die already?
Yeah. But it's really interesting because now it's making me want to know more about Nora and why she's in there deleting record. Like, what is up with
this? Yeah, exactly. It's just like you ever walk by somebody's monitor at work and all of a sudden they click off real quick. You're like, what the fuck were you looking at? Did you have to click off?
Yeah.
You know, that's what happened there. It's we had somebody go in and delete permanent records out of, you know, this master computer. And that's why I think there's something else going along with her.
Well, and one, she would have had to been told how to get into the room.
Yep.
And two, been told that there were certain records in there. And then
what? Well, you think she had to have also get access to Gideon?
Well, it's all clearly coming from Thawne.
So we have this weird fucking time loop going on again.
Yeah.
That he is the original programmer of Gideon. And if he put some backdoor kind of code in there to allow her to go in and do things, there could be something going on between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. God, I hope it's not romantic.
Yeah. Well, and so this is the weird thing is that after our crossover, they announced that we're getting Crisis. And in Crisis, Barry Allen disappears. It's been in the newspaper for 5 years that this man disappears when Crisis comes.
The longest running op-ed, I think, ever.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, in my head, I was already trying to piece together, like, if Wally West isn't really part of our universe anymore, that he's off doing whatever he's doing with his junk on Instagram. just don't follow him. He does a lot of shit with his penis.
God.
It's, yes, unfortunate. I mean, you know, and Wally West was such a big character in that, I was thinking that, you know, they would bring in Nora, the excess character, as this person, because Barry has to disappear for some time here if we're going to do this properly. Mm-hmm. If we're going to start off the year with this crisis, that's what I was thinking going into this episode. Now, after watching this episode, I don't know if I want that broad being in charge of any kind of speed thing going on and thinking that she's going to have a continuation on past this season.
So you want to bookend it by the end of the year?
I don't know if I trust her.
Hmm. I was having a lot of fun with her. The daddy daughter thing. It was
goofy. It was cute. Goofy.
It was cute. And I don't have kids. I'm not like you. I don't have a daughter.
Yeah.
So I can't relate to it on a personal level. But on an emotional level, I can still make a connection of like this is a cute, genuine girl trying to learn more about her father and build a relationship, and I really appreciated that. But now, with all these other things going on...
With these twists and turns.
Yeah, you can't trust the bitch.
Yeah, and I really thought she was going to have a big part going into next season's, you know, crossover, which, again, is the beginning of the year.
They're going to kick it off with that.
Yep.
So by the end of the year, they're clearly going to give us a cliffhanger. They're going to have to.
He's going to have to do something it's going to, for all the shows.
Yeah.
And so it's, I don't know. They've done so much with her character that I'm almost looking for the double cross here.
Well,
that Barry Allen's heart doesn't break from his mother this time. It breaks because of his daughters.
Yeah, I think it has to. And there was one scene where she had pulled some nonsense comment and even Iris gave her this real side eye as there was a sweeping, like, kind of panning shot. And, and Iris just had this resting bitch face. And so Iris was skeptical, I think, at one point. I felt she was skeptical. And then she got won over, and she felt like she was building a relationship with her daughter. And now I don't know if she feels quite the same way anymore.
Yeah, and it's one of those things to where it's she's showing these, like, random outbursts, like in the courtroom.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, that it just show that there might be something darker there.
Yeah, she's showing everybody there's something going on. And so sooner or later, everybody's going to start picking up on that vibe and start questioning what's going on.
How long does Sherlock keep this a secret? We're in that historic area of DC on CW. Somebody Secrets. Knows something. Somebody's going to keep it a secret until it's really in time to tell.
Well, I feel like he's probably, maybe for the better, trying to make sure he has a complete understanding.
The A to Z, not like A to B, and be like, I don't know what the fuck she's doing, but something's up.
Don't want to blow the whistle too soon. Probably wants to make sure he has a solid business case before he brings it forward.
I just got
to
have a PowerPoint and
He's got to
have some charts.
He does, because when he drops that PowerPoint deck, he's going to have to also drop that invoice right in Cisco's lap, and so he's got to have all of those dots connected.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those things that, as somebody that's coming in, and again, Nora is a newcomer, but of course they gravitate towards her because you always believe in your blood type scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And so he better have a solid case going forward.
Yeah, I think it would be easy for Iris to really step back and question, especially knowing that in the future Iris was the one that put the chip in her. So I think Iris will flip on a dime without question. It's Barry that I think would have the problem really come to terms of believing anything that's put forth unless it's a solid case.
Yeah, because why?
But this is where, you know, I would love for Sherlock to give old Dibny a call and bring Dibny into the equation and let him sleuth it out.
And maybe we'll get there. And again, he didn't show up. I want to say it's the second or third episode in a row.
It's been at least
three. He was in the crossover a little bit, but before that, he wasn't in anything, really.
He hasn't had the main, I don't even want to say main part, but he hasn't had a bigger part like he was having there for a long time.
He's more of a featuring than a co-star at this point.
Yeah, and I really want that co-star back.
Yeah, and we'll see. At least they explained it. It wasn't like one of those things where we come in and go, hey, where's Ralph? Where's Joe?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they explained both of them real well, but now there's this classic superhero thing that goes along, and anytime somebody has powers, it always comes up. And it's one that I'm surprised we haven't been into yet. It's taken 5 seasons for us to actually go into the whole, can we cure a meta? Should we cure a meta? Now, we had Cisco kind of give us some background there of why he believes it. And I've talked about this on the other shows, like at least Arrow. Like, there is no good ending for a lot of superheroes. You can't just, you know, become Mr. Incredible, then go fucking do taxes or whatever he does in the Incredibles, you know, and take off the suit, because you always kind of have those powers. And Cisco wants to get rid of his powers because, you know, he lost the love of his life in Gypsy. Mm-hmm. You know, he sees that
his brother,
he sees that there are issues going on. Now, can you see Cisco, if he ever comes up with this really retiring vibe, taking that away?
I think there would inevitably be something that happens where he would regret it, or will regret it if he gets rid of him, especially if the team is in such dire straits and they need his powers to get them out, or even if they don't, he knows if he had them.
And the consequences.
Correct. There's consequences. Now, that aside, while Cisco's had some really good shining moments, I always really liked the Cisco in the first season.
Season 1, Cisco. Season 2, Cisco. Yeah,
when he didn't have the powers and he was just Cisco.
Eating fucking Twizzlers, sitting behind the computer, waiting for shit to happen.
Yeah, and then I feel like they kind of carbon copied that to give us what's-his-name over on Supergirl, which is fine.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But then he went away.
Yeah, then they get ditched Wynn.
Yeah, Wynn went away, and so that kind of character archetype grew on me. It really was Cisco, and when he has his vibe on, he kind of is a different character. And so,
now, do you think? And I just came up with this. Chip is the answer.
You think he develops the chip?
Why not?
If there's anybody who could do it, maybe there's not a medical cure, but clearly he could come
right,
up with the
right
chip.
If the chip came up, because we know the chip exists in the future where we can dampen powers.
Well, they dampen them now. He's going to shrink whatever's inside those meta prison cells into a smaller portable chip. And I bet I'll buy it.
You'll buy that?
I'll buy that.
So is it better to, like, the whole cure thing is always like a weird thing that you see in X-Men and all that other, you know, kind of like I said, it's like a superhero trope that comes in every once in a while. Now, we always think that, I think we've even seen that a little bit in a Supergirl, the where they're trying to come up with either a cure to become super or something to make you super.
Yeah, usually it's how do we take the superpowers away from Superman or Supergirl, as it were, or how do I rid the world of all these aliens?
And I was like, I don't know if I want this on The Flash. Like, is that important? I know Cisco gives that speech, and I kind of believe it. Like, yeah, we didn't do the original one, but we knocked down that satellite, and there's all kinds of people going around with this dark matter that we caused.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Caitlin and Killer Frost kind of have that Dr. Jekyll and Miss Hyde thing going on, and she doesn't seem that think, at least the Killer Frost side of her doesn't want the cure.
I'm not even sure, Caitlin. They've come to a understanding of one another. And
you don't think either of them want it, and it was just easier for the Killer Frost side to come in. And
I think I think for the longest time it helped drive the story, right? To keep the drama and keep the tension between the two halves of her. But now that she's found a way to make it work, and you know she lost her powers and then she gets them back, I think she truly and genuinely found a way to make it work for herself. And like I've said before, I didn't care for her character, but now I do because the Killer Frost now is a lot cooler than she, pun intended, than she ever was.
Yeah.
But
would you see a need for a cure yourself? Like,
it depends on if you look at it as a disease.
And that's the thing is like for somebody like her, which originally we were like, oh, maybe she is born this way.
Was she Lady Gaga?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Okay. She's Lady Gaga, and she was born this way. You know, but we find out, you know, it was something with her father, that she was made this way.
Yeah.
Now, again, for things like her, like, I could see her having an issue with it, because will her ALS come back?
I forgot
that if she's cured. That. I mean, that's the reason why her dad's the Frost King.
Yeah, the Frost King. Oh, God. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. It was a long break.
It's just one of those. I don't know where I sit on the fence with this, if it was a care. Because I know what's going to happen. It's you know, in typical TV movie writing fashion, probably more in real life than we ever want to, you know, admit to, is that when we know that there's a cure for something, that we use it and weaponize it. That it's like, I can take out all metas. Why shouldn't the cops have these bullets that shoot this? And if a meta goes to jail, why shouldn't we inject them and take their powers away? And
that's immediately where my head went, right? It's like all this takes, and I even said it to Nicole, like all this takes is someone to find out that they're doing this to weaponize it. And I do like that their number one rule was going to provide people a choice. Not going to force, you know, it's kind of like the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm, but different. But do you put it out there and offer vaccinations of chips, you know, free flu shots, free anti-meta shots?
Yeah, exactly. Going in and be like, oh, it's meta shot season.
Yeah.
I'm going to go down to the local Walgreens and they got a corner clinic set up and they're going to shoot me right up.
Right.
I won't have to worry about this wiggly finger anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's my metal power.
But then every year, do you got to re-up? Do you got to get your chip updated?
Yeah. Is it just like the flu shot?
Yeah.
Where they inject you with a little bit of meta, so you have to come back and get more?
Yeah. And then every year, it mutates.
It's just so many things. And I think that's why the chip might actually be the answer.
I think you're onto something. I think the chip is probably, again, they already have the dampening thing. We saw it. We've
seen the dampening cuffs. We've seen everything. So why not make a portable version that can go into, you know, it's like a microchip on a dog or a cat or something.
Yeah, and you just inject it with a little syringe gun thingamajigger, and
you can scan it. And I just know it's going to end up being in some ways. I don't know if that's really a thing, because why wouldn't Reverse Flash have that in him? Obviously, he has that suit on.
Is that suit his dampening?
I want to say that suit is his dampening.
But he's in the meta prison.
True. But why not
double up?
Why not take away the powers already of the man? Like, these people that are in this prison are there for a reason. You know, it's not like this Weather Witch thing that we went through. She's like, I feel guilty about my crimes. I'm going to go do my time. type thing to where somebody that felt bad about something. These are the heart of the hard going in.
Well, she felt bad until somebody tried to pull her back into the game.
Yeah.
And then she started to dig on it.
But I personally, this is like one of those things that I don't know if I like them going this direction with the storyline.
No, but it will tie it all together with a nice bow if they do go the Chip route, because then it explains everything that we learned about Nora at the very, well, not the very beginning, but midway through the first half of the season.
So do you think Nora would change her idea of Sisko and the team if they found out that the team was the people that, because this always goes back to that whole, you know, I'm starting to think she might be a little more evil than we expect.
I think if she catches wind that they're working on something, and in particular, it turns out your hypothesis is accurate and it's a chip, she's going to probably try to do something to derail it, and it's going to give Eobard some good talking points of, I told you so.
This is your family. They're supposed to be there for you.
Right. And look what they're doing.
And look, and you wouldn't have known this unless I showed you.
Right.
I mean,
he's like Palpatine.
Just direct them. Just kind of push them towards.
Yeah.
You know,
it just needs a little push.
That's all you need. It's a weird storyline, but if they write it correctly, and again, it just goes into the development of the chip like I hope it's going to be, it ties it all together in a nice little like circular. Yeah.
If that's the route they go, it's really smart writing. If it's just a vaccination, like a normal vaccination, then wow, what a missed opportunity.
Because I mean, if I had powers and I just wanted to retire them, and I could put the chip in my wrist and say like, okay, cool, I can't vibe anymore, or I can't do whatever my superpower is, and I'll be lame. And I could just like put something over it and deactivate it, and my powers come back, you know, and you're able to light switch it off and on.
Depends on the power.
I'm just saying, like, for Sisko, an example, like the vibe thing.
Yeah, his is detrimental because touching objects or things can cause him real psychological harm of whatever it is he sees a vision of.
And I don't have to worry about trying to control myself if I touch this mic or this this mouse on this thing, and I see Mike looks at porn on these computers that I sit at.
Right.
You're like, oh!
And yeah, I don't want to even know what kind.
But
you know, we missed the car aspect.
No, we didn't really miss it. I'm getting into that now.
Oh, okay.
Because again, it's behind the scenes thing. I leave a lot of things out of the notes when Ryan's not here, because I'm directing the show anyways.
Well, we can't have that title and not talk about it.
And so I want to get into the effects and a lot of the things that we saw this week, because when you think mid-season premiere, you think that this is like one of those wad-blowing fucking budget-type things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we saw this Fast and the Furious car with all their neon glow lights come in. And, you know, whatever, cool. They made the car disappear. They did some things with it. And as much as I wanted that thing, you know, and it's Wayne Tech, which, again, when they said Wayne Tech and Argus, I was like, oh, my God.
Just rolling up to Argus, I was like, what's going on here?
Lucius Fox is doing stuff, and then it's there, and maybe we'll see a Batmobile or something.
I would have even taken a Lambo, like the one from Dark Knight. At least that's closer to the mark.
But, and again, my issue is not with the car. It's not with the day glow lights that were all fucking all over it.
Those are my issues off the bat.
No, I think we all can agree putting in my 4-year-old's iPad with a fucking emojis on it as part of your control system.
And it was straight up. I'm going to verify this before I speak out of turn. Because at first I was like, is that the Snapchat logo that they just threw on there, or the little ghost? But I'm gonna pull open my iPhone right now, and I'm gonna type, and no bullshit, it's the goddamn iOS ghost emoji that if I push it, apparently I can phase through anything.
Yes.
What a load of horse shit. What a load of lazy budget.
They do so many cool things on here, and all it would take is, you know, a computer screen with some other. Dude,
the amount of money that has been spent across all of these shows for all that crazy motion graphics that's going on literally every display screen in the Arrow Cave,
and Legends, and
everywhere. Yeah. And you put a fucking emoji. Are you shitting me?
And
right
this is
now?
Supposed to be like the top of the line Wayne Tech Argus military grade bullshit, and we're getting the ghost emoji on your computer.
Fuck off. I was so angry about it. No. As a designer, as someone who does this for a living, really? Stop being lazy.
It took me out of it, and that's exactly what you don't want.
Yeah, it took you out of it.
I completely bought the key fob breaking into things like we've seen. Okay, well, we've seen the meta powers take over technology. And so, you know, the stopping of the cars here and there and being able to do some of the things that they were showing. Okay, cool.
Well, when she held the key fob up and there was the little rocky, you know, orange sliver thing coming out, I'm like, what kind of crazy car is she driving?
She should have held it to her teeth, like when the battery's going low and you're trying to lock your car.
It was, oh man, and they straight up ruined that vehicle. That is that's one of my classic cars that if I was a millionaire, you know, won the lottery, that car would be the one that I would go out with, that SS.
Minus the iPad and minus the Dayglo lights.
Minus those awful fucking blue lights.
Yeah, and again, it was such a cool theory to think about, like in theory, the Fast and the Furious, flash racing these cars, you know, even the, you know, I'll give him props on the smart way of how to like kind of isolate Barry throughout the episode, you know, of, all right, well, he touched it and he can't stop fucking phasing.
Yeah, or phasing rather.
And then, you know, the joke scene of them pushing him over towards the cell and locking him in the cell and him trying to direct things as his daughter's running around doing things for him. You know, there were some good like moments like that, but it was just the car was just so bad.
So bad. It was like, yeah, to your point, we can't blow our wad yet. So what can we get really fast? What can we put together really fast?
But me and you both know that they could have fucking faked something in Illustrator or anything.
They could have just went and got a Tesla, which right off the bat has a pretty badass UI. Just boom, go get a Model 3 or a Model S, and you're done.
Again, it looked like one of my daughter's Nickelodeon games.
It was really bad.
And we always look for those things that take us out, and this was the one that took me out of this episode.
So hold on. They had that Lambo, too. And maybe that's why they didn't go that route. So they had
the Lambo
at the beginning, which sent me down a whole rabbit hole because that's another car. I want that Lambo from Dark Knight. I want that. It's a badass. The Evo is a badass car. So when that guy, this was another thing I had a real problem with the episode. When that guy's sitting there doing his breathalyzer test and cop's sitting there, you know, having to do the walk, and she rolls up and takes the car, the look on that dumbass cop's face, he just stood there and just looked at the car drive off. You didn't pull the radio out. You didn't radio for backup. You didn't even try to get in your car and say, you know what, this guy driving, you know, with a couple of drinks in him probably pales in comparison to the
Grand Theft Auto
that just happened right in front of me, but I'll just stand here with my...
Speaking of Grand Theft Auto, I've done that exact same thing in Grand Theft Auto. Car opens up, jump in and drive away.
Yeah, but typically, within seconds, you have like 10 cars up your ass.
Yes, exactly.
So that was the first shitty policing of the episode.
Uh-huh.
The second shitty policing of the episode was when all the sirens and stuff started going off on all the vehicles and that cop standing outside and radios, we got a 595. All that means is runaway car. There was no cars going anywhere.
You look that up?
I did. Whenever they throw out police codes, like, because my dad was a cop when I was a kid, so I always like pay attention to that shit. And so I immediately, it's just runaway. There was no cars running away anywhere. The sirens were going off, and then she made a mad dash straight inside.
That's straight out of Super Troopers, by the way.
Oh my god!
You know something's going on. Everybody chase. Leave the people alone.
So stupid. And then the third one, which this wasn't so much shitty policing, it was just shitty acting. When there was that security breach or whatever, and there was that security guard in there, she was all stoic, trying to be all bad. It's just like, oh man, like those things pain me because those that's not how those roles should be acted.
Yeah.
It's to your point about the iPad thing. It takes me out.
Yeah, you don't want anything that takes you out. Yeah. I want to forget. And that's what we try to do with the 50, 44, whatever minutes that we get out of these hour-long shows.
Yeah, I want it to be grounded in enough reality to where I buy in to what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
But don't throw in outlandish ghost emojis. I don't want that.
It's bad enough that I believe more that I could have the world's fastest man run through my house and then buy that car and get the ghost emoji.
Yeah.
You know, what is more believable?
Yeah, I know there's not a ghost emoji app that makes my car phase.
Yeah. And if you're going to do it something a little bit better. All right, let's get into final thoughts. We kind of got there a little bit, but I'm going to start off here. For me, this wasn't a mid-season comeback episode at all.
Oh, no.
This was a, you know, filler type thing. Again, it advanced the story a little bit, but when we come back from breaks, I expect to be wooed. I expect to be like, oh, my God, let me get on Twitter and tweet and let's see what the listeners think. It was just more like, I guess we'll talk about these three things this week.
Especially with such the cliffhanger that we had of like, what?
Yeah.
Thought? What?
Yeah. Reverse Flash is back. At least they didn't ditch Reverse Flash and like... But they've ditched Cicada.
Mm.
So we're kind of in this like weird scenario here. And again, I want to be completely just like bowled over by midseason finales, season premieres, you know, those main episodes.
The bookenders.
Yes, is what I expect. Because you want that buzz coming back, and they did not do it. I didn't feel the need to go out to the listener base and go, hey, guys, what did you think? We're going to be talking about it on Thursday, and maybe I'll incorporate some of your decisions. Mm-hmm. We didn't get any tweets about it this week. We didn't get anything on our Facebook about it this week. So that kind of just tells you how flat the show fell for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was certainly a filler episode, which is weird for a comeback.
A comeback. But- and a Sterling Gates episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually he's more of into doing the comic book things. And we did see a lot of that, but there were just too many take me out moments.
Yeah, goofy things. Yeah, did Arrow air yet?
No. Flash came back first, which means we're going to have a week off whenever.
Okay, because I was just curious if the other ones had the same dilemma.
Flash came back a week earlier than everybody else.
Oh, okay. So. And they never explained the other thing I was just thinking of. They never explained when Sherlock went down to Barry to feed him, which I actually love that because we know that his metabolism's so insane and everybody just forgot about him. Yeah. The poor bastard sitting there starving to death. And so he takes him down to look like a bag of McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah, the big belly burger.
Yeah, and then he hands him a book and says the legends dropped this off.
Okay, so...
What?
All right, for you guys that aren't legends fans, Mick Roy... has been writing a romance novel for 2 years, like as his like secret thing that he tries to act all tough. So what you saw in this episode, and was the book that this man has been writing. Because they'll always like bust in on him, and he'll have like old lady glasses on, and I'll be typing on a typewriter.
Oh, that's awesome!
And it's like his like thing that he does on the ship to get away. So when the legends dropped off that book, it was Mick Roy's.
Romance novel.
And
okay,
it's like a inside joke thing that's been going on Legends.
Okay, so. I appreciate that. Then
yes,
the little nugget coming over.
Yeah, I completely forgot about it. But again, for those that don't watch Legends of Tomorrow, that's where that book came from.
Okay, well that explains that.
Yep. Got anything else?
No. I mean, I like we said earlier, I'm getting more and more curious about this Nora thing. I thought the writing behind that and planting those seeds of doubt in us after she won us over, and now it's keeping us as a viewer as much as the characters themselves is keeping us on our toes.
Yeah,
and I like
that. We know something's going on.
Yeah, we know something's going on, and if your hypothesis about the chip rings true, then like I said, smart writing.
Yeah.
That's just smart writing. But yeah, I was hoping for a 1-2 punch coming back into it. So hopefully the next episode we get what we're expecting.
The story's getting there. Just there was too many mm-hmm. moments. So
yeah, and again, we were missing our buddy Joe still. We're missing Ralph. So I want to bring those people back even though the cast is pretty dense at this point in terms of body count, I don't want those guys to disappear for too long.
Yeah. Yeah, because then we'll have to play catch up with them. What's been going on since I've been gone?
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for today's DC on CW Flash Edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future episodes through dconcw.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at dconcw, facebook.com/dconcw, and Instagram, dc_on_cw. And we'll see you next week.
People want cuddles.